So in just spending time with the Lord this morning, just reading through those verses again, and we've really talked a lot about them in the last few weeks, even on Sunday, but I'm just stuck with something that the Lord just keeps blessing me with, ministering to me, because here is one of those places where the gospel, the nature of the gospel is so clearly defined that so many miss, which is so tragic. Jesus said, through the shepherds, the little father said through the shepherds and through the angels, that there's a Savior who's born for you this day named Christ the Lord, and the result was going to be peace on earth and for all people and great joy. And so the gospel is the word good news. And for Jesus to be my Savior means much more than just my sins are forgiven and I'm going to go to heaven one day. Because the gospel is so good that if you understand how good the good news is, it would produce great joy in your life and peace on the slice of earth, your everyday life that you live in. And the fact that so many Christians don't walk in great joy in the midst of a fallen world and don't walk in the peace of God that passes understanding is evidence of the fact that so few Christians, people who are actually born again, really understand the scope of the good news. So you've heard me give this explanation before. That word for this gospel, which means good news, in the days of Christ, it was a word that was used in the secular world about an announced victory over an enemy that was trying to come and conquer. And the victory was so decisive when there was so much at risk, and the victory was so decisive it changed everything forever. And so from a cosmic perspective, from heaven's perspective, what Jesus accomplished at the cross in his death, burial, resurrection, ascension was a victory that was so pronounced and so profound that human history was changed forever. But don't just look at that in the big picture. Your human history. Jesus came to change your story and your story forever, to put your story in the victory column. And that's why the enemy has done everything he can to try to keep people from understanding the gospel. You know, we hear a lot that the enemy wants to rob people from liturgy or Eucharist or the fivefold gifts of the Spirit or the government of God. And he may go after all those things, but what is the foundational reality of the gospel? Because if he can keep Christians from understanding, then he's robbed them of the thing that Jesus went to the cross to pay for. So hear this again in its sheer simplicity, even if we've been talking about this a lot in these particular verses. Hear it again and allow the Holy Spirit to blow you away, because the good news is so good it should do exactly that. Again, Peter has just been told that he's going to deny Christ three times. And so in verse 1 of chapter 14, the conversation with Peter continues, though the others are around and are listening. So it's the truth for all of them. This is talking to Peter. And he says, having told Peter that he was going to deny him three times, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And what we talked about Sunday was the fact that he's trying to tell Peter, look, the solution to you is not you. The solution to you being the failure that I always thought you'd turn out to be is me. I'm the only solution. And the Christian life is not an improvement program. It's not behavioral modification. It's transformation. And so even though you may lose belief in yourself when you deny me three times and you feel shattered because you've lost all sense of confidence in your walk with me, believe in me. Because I can do something about you that you can't do for yourself. That's why I told him that he was going to go to a place where they couldn't go. And Peter said, I want to go. I'll go now. I'll die for you. And Jesus said, will you really? You're going to deny me three times. Because that's just the nature of the flesh. And so again, Christ didn't just come to pay for what we've done. Jesus came to transform us from what we had become. God came to rescue humanity, not from some judicial consequence. Those sins need to be paid for. He came to save humanity's fallenness. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, the kingdom, there are many dwelling places. And just once again, I love the King James Bible. I don't use it much, but I love it. Most of the stuff I've memorized is from it. But the King James Bible puts mansions here, and the word's not mansions. There's no such thing. It's the word abiding place, the same thing as in John 15. If you abide in me and I abide in you. Or dwelling place. In my Father's house are many places for you to dwell, many places for you to abide. And the word abide simply means to remain, many places for you to live in. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, he's still talking about Peter and the rest of them, that if your failure would somehow disqualify you from what I'm about to do, I would have told you. But the reality is there's nothing you can do about your condition. I'm the only one that can do something about your condition. You're helpless and hopeless, and therefore I've come incarnate. God became human to rescue you from yourself. In my Father's house are many places to abide, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to a place to prepare a place for you. He was going to go to the cross. That's something they couldn't do. They couldn't go to the cross and undo the fall of Adam. Only Jesus could. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you or receive you to myself. That where I am, there you'll be also. So our lostness is because of our separation from God. There's nothing scarier than human being apart from God. All the evil that's been perpetuated in the world is a result of human beings, inhumanity to mankind, because of their separation from God. And so it's kind of like I think of, have you ever seen the movie called I, Robot with Will Smith? And they created all these robots that would take care of people and serve them in all these different ways. And there's nothing could go wrong with them. But one of them got weird and went haywire and created a lot of damage. That's the fall. We were created to bear his image, to reveal his likeness. And because of our desire to be independent from God, try to be like God without God, we have this amazing mess. And so Jesus, the solution for that is not, oh, I'm going to pat you on the back. I'm going to tap you, Bill Jones. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to go pay for your sins. And now you're forgiven. And I'm going to tap you and say, now, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Now, you go do the best you can, and the Holy Spirit will help you to be a different person. That's close, but no cigar. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, an abiding place, and I will come again and receive you to myself. The abiding place is Jesus. He went to prepare a place for us to live in, to live life, and that place is in him. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Is he talking about physically, or is he talking about spiritually? So that instead of you being here in the lost condition, not just under the condemnation of sin, but under the reign of sin, the power of sin, you being here in your lost condition, separation from God, that separation is going to be healed by me bringing you into myself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. You're going to be grafted into my person so that where I am spiritually in every situation, that's where you are also. So you're no longer living by your own wit and even spiritually out of your own sincerity and in your own strength, trying to not be angry or not be frustrated or to not lust or to not be prideful or not envy. All those things that are the consequence of the fall, you've been grafted into me, that where I am, and I don't do any of those things, that's where you can be also. So you find yourself in a situation where somebody's doing something to offend you. Jesus doesn't live with an offended heart. You've been grafted into him. Instead of being where you were on your own, trying to deal with that and just being hurt and offended, you're now, Jesus has received you to himself, that where he is, you are also. And therefore, I can, out of my union with him, experience his not getting offended being lived out through me. and just take that, extrapolate that into every situation and circumstance. Well, I just don't think I can love him anymore. That's what lost people say. You've been grafted into Jesus. That's what Jesus never says that. You can't find that anywhere in the scripture. That's not who he is. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are you in this world. Because you've been taken to himself. Now, I know that's so simple. I know we've talked about it so much, but I just can't get over the amazing reality of that, because I deal with things every day, doing what I do for a living, my vocation. I deal with people every day. And it would be so easy just to be upset, be disappointed, to be frustrated, to get offended, to get hurt, every day. Because I'm not just dealing with Christ the King, I'm dealing with people all over the world. And the worst thing you can do to a layperson is to ordain them. You can take a really good layperson, ordain them, and you ruin them. And so I've got clergy that I deal with all over the world. But it's so liberating to be where he is. Where he is, I am also. And when something rises up in me, I can simply remember that Christ is my life. He doesn't do that. I just surrender in childlike faith and allow Christ himself to be who he is through me. And that's the abundant life. That's salvation. Salvation is not something Jesus accomplished for me. Jesus says later, he says, he's the way. Salvation is something that was accomplished in Jesus, not just by Jesus. It all happened in Jesus. Okay? All righty. I know that sounds extremely familiar, but that good news is so good, I never get tired of saying it. I never get tired of hearing it. And I never get past discovering the riches of it all. So remember, the gospel isn't, Roxanne and I have been talking about this, the gospel isn't Jesus saying, here I am, this is the way, now this is how I do it, now you do it. I'm your model, now you do it. No, there's no, that's still, you're trying to be for him what only he can be through you. He said, here's the answer to your fallenness. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back and take you, the word there is to take you to myself, because I'm your solution. I'm not just providing a solution, I'm the solution. I'm the way, okay? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.